Shalom Aleichem. We are Mirtz Hashem today. Gonna learn Perig Yod Zayin, which is Oschach, which is Kas Ukpeda, anger, and being makpid on something means that a person is a stickler for a particular issue and is very, very stern when it comes to this issue and doesn't give in. It's not mevater. Doesn't give in to other people. But he puts his stake in the ground. And he doesn't budge even when he really should. So it's a big issue. He's going to quote some Zohar here that is a little bit scary, but it's all here to inspire us to work on this very important problem that we all have. Amru Chazal said, Shleisha Kadosh Baruch Hu Oyevan, the three people that a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves, and one of them is a person that never gets angry. But Amru, he says in the Gemara Kiddushin, Shem ben Mem beis Oisiyos, the holy name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that has 42 letters, is only given over to a person that never gets angry. But Amru, in the Gemara Tainus, the person should always train himself to be calm and not to respond in any way that reflects anger. Kamagunami does a kas, how disgraceful is this trait of anger? Until Chazal, which is quoted by the Rambam, he quotes here from a Medrash Le'olam, Perek Tesvav, they say that it's also found in the Zayar. That's one of the riots they try to bring that the Rambam actually had the Zayar. But be that as it may, and whoever gets angry, it's as if he has done avoid Zara. But Amru Gwar Shabbos, if a person rips his clothes because he's angry, a person breaks, you know, smashes plates and kalim because of his anger, and he throws around money because of his anger, he should be in his eyes as if the person did avoid his zara. Also a zara chadash, also Gemara Shabbos, there shouldn't be to you a strange god. Means he shouldn't be quick to anger, meaning all the same ideas, that the fact that a person has lost his seichel and is responding by allowing his anger to control him, so his anger is like an avoy desire, he's just given in to his anger, that he's not really following his seichel and doing what he's supposed to be doing according to the Torah. If none, it says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, if a person is easy to anger and very difficult to appease, Rasha, so that's a midah of a Rasha. But Amru, that a person is recognizable who he really is, what he really is, by three things. And one of them is how he responds when he could be angry or by getting angry. And anger damages both the body and the neshama. That if a person gets angry, all types of gehenim control him. Which is interesting, because what does it mean there are types of Gehenim? I mean, this is talking about Lachar Misa. This is talking about something that's even now. So, but that's what it says. All types of Gehenim control him, have control over him. And things called Tachtonios, that things have to do perhaps with hemorrhoids or other physical ailments that have to do with the lower part of the body, also have control over him. Also, the Shechina is not important opposite such a person. And he forgets what he learned, and he adds on stupidity to his mind. You know about such a person that his averis are more than his merits. Don't become angry. Sirtach is from word of a roiskin, like boiling. Don't become boiling hot. Don't become angry and don't sin, because getting angry leads to sin. But people who have this midah that they are boiling hot, they get angry, so their life is not a life. That when there's anger in the home, it is like this karya worm for sesame seeds. Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains, kasavayas, when there's anger in the home, it eats up the house, it devours the house, just like this worm does to sesame seeds. You know, Amru, Medrash Agada says, a kas masalik es amor, that anger can impact a person's vision. But Amru, Gwaram Sachem, Kolokalisim, Chacham, Hu, Chachamas, is selected man of a person and gets angry if he's a Chacham, so his Chachamah is taken away from him. And if he's a prophet, his nevuah is taken away from him. But afilo, person like Vilmin Hashamayim, I mean, even if a person, Min Hashamayim, was paskind that he should have greatness, my reading I said, because of his anger, they remove him from the post that he should have had. But Amron, it says in the Sifrei, in the Medrash, not this, but Shashim Makomet, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Chalkas, three places Moshe Rabbeinu became angry, and because in all those three places, he made a mistake. But Amron, and it says in Mark Yidushin, Ragzan, if a person is typically gets angry, like us, all he ends up with is his anger. So he has a fascinating story here in the Beis Yosef in Archaim, at the end of Simon Reish Tzadi Tas. So he quotes from the Kolvoy in the name of a Medrash, the Beirash al Miriam, Biyamash al Tiberia, that when Klaisel were in the Midbar, so they had their water from what's called the Be'er Miriam, the well of Miriam that traveled with them. And when Klaisel came to Eretz Yisrael, so Be'er Miriam somehow went into the waters of Tiberia in the Kinneret. V'chol Motzei Shabbos, and every Motzei Shabbos, Machazeres al Kol Be'eres al Kol Mayonis, so the water of Be'er Miriam, it spreads, or it goes back and spreads some of its water into all of the water sources that are the wells and the springs. V'chol Mishahu Nchela, if a person is sick, and he ends up drinking from this water, even the person is covered in boils, immediately they'll be healed. So there was a guy that Taka was covered in boils. So his wife went on Shabbos to draw water, and she spent too long, more time there than he expected her to. His dam should have, so to speak, his dam the law be'irishel Miriam, but she ended up drawing water that contained in it from the well of Miriam. And so she filled up her pitcher from that water. When she came home, he was angry at her for coming home so late. But Miriam Kasa and Nafla Kada Mishechma, and from all of the Kas, so at her, and so her pitcher fell from her shoulder, and it broke. When the pitcher fell, some of the water splashed onto his skin. In all of those places that the water splashed, near Pashchin, wherever the water hit on his body, so it healed the skin and the boils in that spot. Chazal say, this is the idea that if a person is a ragzan, he's an angry person, so all he ends up with is his anger. Okay, so now the next part is a long quote from the Zohar, so it's a little bit hard to read and even to translate, so I'm just going to read straight from the article in English. The Zohar HaKadosh, Parshas Tetzaveh, which is also quoted by Rechaim Vital and Shari Kedusha, writes as follows. If a person gets angry, his holy, exalted soul becomes disconnected from him, and the Sitra Achra, the side of impurity, in other words, a source of life that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's coming from, so to speak, the dark side, so it rests in its place. So a person loses his holy soul, and he receives like a tummy soul. He is considered a person who has rebelled against his master, and it is forbidden to approach him. This is the man who tears himself apart in his anger, pasuk from Iyov. He tears away his soul and replaces it with a strange god. For with what is he considered worthy? Since he has introduced a strange god inside of himself, he himself is considered like Navodah Zarah, like an idol, and anyone who speaks with him is like one who befriends an actual idol, for that is what is inside him. It is even forbidden to gaze upon him. As it says in the Torah, Al Tifnu El Elilim, don't turn towards the idols, which the Zarah is interpreting to mean to stare and to gaze at him. But such a person, it is written, you shouldn't make yourselves molten gods, gods of metal and whatnot. All types of spiritual impurities can be purified except for this one, because he has rendered his entire being impure inside and out, and his soul as well. Every part of him is impure. And even when this person finally uproots the strange god from within himself completely and permanently, and afterward he strives to become a holy person once more and to draw back the holy soul that departed from him, even then, would that he will succeed in restoring his holiness, meaning it's not so partial, it's not so easy. If it has left him once, a person will need to expend a great deal of effort to return his soul to its place. He writes, see also the Nitzutzei Oris there in the name of the Arizal, which states that one who gets angry makes his soul into an actual trefa, a non-kosher animal, and therefore there is no remedy for one who gets angry. Even if he repents and amasses a great deal of service studying good deeds, His anger causes his soul to depart, and in its place is the soul from the Sitra Achra, thus all is lost. His only hope is to resolve that he will be careful to never again get angry at all, and after that he can repent for the past. So that's pretty terrifying. I don't know what to say about it, but that's a quote from the Zohar. Because of Rambam, the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Deis, the Afal Gav de Bechol Hamidos Yeshleilech Baderech Hamzayis, even though when it comes to all of the Midos, one is supposed to always be in the middle, not too much this way, not too much that way. About Kas, but the Mida that's referred to as anger as Kas, Mida Rahi Ad Lamoi, that's very, very bad. And it's appropriate the person should be on the extreme and never get angry. And even if something is appropriate to get angry about, he should train himself not to get angry about it. So, but sometimes there's something called display of anger, where a person's not actually experiencing anger, he's just acting in a way that expresses anger in order to discipline his children or whatnot. Or maybe he is in a leadership position and needs to express a certain anger to show how seriously the issue is to a congregation, a kehila, a city, whatever the case may be. In order to fix people, they should realize how terrible it is. He should express anger in order to give the proper message over. But in his mind, in his heart, he is not experiencing anger at all. As if he's pretending, but he's not actually angry. The Chacham Rishonim said, this is still a quote from the Rambam, whoever gets angry, experiences anger, is as if he's on Avodah Zarah. If he's a Chacham, he loses his Chachma. If he's a Navi, so he loses his Nevuah. And people who are constantly getting angry, so their life is not a life. So therefore, Chachamim Rishonim commanded us to distance ourselves from anger to the extent that a person should accustom himself to not even feeling things that are deserving or worthy of being angry about. And that is the good path. The way of the tzaddikim is that if they are insulted, so they don't feel it. They may be insulted, they may be hearing things that are degrading to them, but they don't answer, they don't respond. They do serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of love, and therefore they're happy when they, so to speak, suffer, when they're challenged. And about these types of people, it says that those who love a Kadosh Baruch Hu are like the sun coming out in its might. That's the end of the quote from the Rambam. Listen to this story. So there was an incident that happened with a son that really honored his father really more than one would expect. Beautifully. His father said to him, you have honored me in my life. So I ask you to honor me in my death. And my ethical will over here is that after I'm gone, so do the following, that whenever you get angry, so you should sleep on it for a night. And stop up your spirit so that you shouldn't say a thing. In other words, never, when if you're angry, so never respond right away, sleep on it. So after his father passed away, so this fellow went away, overseas for whatever, Parnassa, whatever it is, and he left his wife when she was pregnant, but he had no idea that she was pregnant. And he was away for a very long time, which, in those days that was typical. You get on a ship, you go across the ocean, it takes a long time to get back. When he came back to the city, he arrived at night. He got to his house, he went to the room where his wife was. Shechem was lying down. And he heard the voice of a young man who was kissing her. So he pulled out his sword and he wanted to kill them both. Obviously, she's cheated on him and she's committing adultery and she deserves to die. And who is this guy? And he's going to kill him. But then he remembered that his father commanded him to sleep on his anger. So he put his sword back into its sheath. So then he listened at the door and he heard that she said to him, to her son that was next there, right? It was her son. It was older now. And she said to her son, it's been many years since your father has left me. If he would have known that he had a son that was born, he would have certainly been here to marry you off to a wife. He was gone for, I don't know, like 18 years. How long was this guy gone for? When he heard this, Omar, he said, open up the door for me, my sister, my love. The quote from Shir Shirim, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, that enabled me and taught me in it. And allowed me to stop up my anger. And blessed is my father, Shetzivani Lasar Kasi Laila Echad, who commanded me to stop up my kas for one night. Shalei Harakti, Isach, Ba'es, Bini, I didn't kill you and my son. And he had a great joy. He made a big party with a lot of rejoicing. That's the quote from Sefer Chasidim. Ashrei Mish and Nizam Mikas Kol Yomav. How spiritually wealthy is a person that is able to be careful about kas, anger, all of his life. So the second part here is that included in anger is what's called a kapdon. A kapdon, to be makbin on everything and not be mevater on everything, not let things slide. In visan kehilal, a person should always be humble like kehilal, a kapdon shamai, and not to be a kapdon like shamai. We have all these stories about Hillel, who was so patient with people, and he would bring people in and listen to them, even when they drove him crazy. And he always put cases of Shammai when in the same situation, he chased them away and say, "No, don't waste my time." Kapdanusa shel Shammai big shel abedenim in olam. The kapdanus of Shammai would wants to chase us out of the world. Chazal tavsu al Eliyo shehaya kapdan, and Chazal even have a criticism of Eliyo and Navi for being a kapdan. And we learn with non-illusion mission of Pirkei Avos le'akat the Malamed that a person can't be a Rebbe if he has this Mida of Kapdana. So Amr Shalu Tamidu Rav Acha Bar Abba, that the Tamidim asked the Rebbe Rav Acha Bar Abba, "V'mar Rach Yamim, why, what were you Zocha? How were you Zocha to such long life?" Amr Lamsi said to them, "Yom Ha'ilek Padu Tzach Besi, my entire life I never expressed Kapeda in my home. I always let things slide." You Amru Kasha Hakbada, how difficult is this mid of Hakbara Shigarmulul Moshe Tois, because it caused Moshe Rabbeinu to make a mistake. Right, which is interesting because the Moshe Rabbeinu made these three mistakes, which was the experience of Kas. So it sounds like that the Kepeda led to Kas maybe, but the two seem to be connected. Rebbe explains that Ruach HaKodesh left Moshe Rabbeinu because of this mid of Kepeda. So here you learn that if a person is a kapdan, he loses his wisdom, he loses his chachma. It teaches you that a person should be, you know, deliberate and be patient in when he speaks, and he shouldn't be makbid on the things that he says. Because when a person is makbid, people have to listen to exactly what he says on the spot, whatever. He ends up forgetting things. He forgot how long it is. And it's certainly a kal v'chomer. Moshe Rabbeinu chacham gadol shel gedolim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is certainly one of the wisest of the wise, Av l'neviim, and he was considered the father to all the other neviim. B'shal shikvid al devarav, when he was makid on what he said, shikvid al devarav, so he forgot when he was supposed to. He forgot the halacha. Anu achas kama kama us, who are not such a madrega, how much more so? V'kal rabasi, v'kiyasi nemucha shakol talin ba. A person should make himself like a low peg that everyone hangs things on and is able to use and ask questions and discuss things with the patients and understand that you'll be able to get answers from. Because sometimes, you know, you might go to a person and you feel uncomfortable asking him questions because he has like a certain attitude, like, "Oh, did you not listening to me?" Like, you know, he has a capeda, and then, you know, you don't want to ask him anything, and, you know, you feel bad that he ever did. So a person shouldn't be like, it'll be like a peg that people are willing to come and hang things on and willing to discuss things with. Because you never know when you're going to die. And then if you know, if no one will ever remember your name, you'll be a worthless person. That even Navi said, the Torah is only explained to a person who's not a kapdan. He's only able to understand that he's not a kapdan. I only reveal myself to a person that's not a kapdan. Asher Misha Pagaboy, spiritually wealthy as a person that met up with Eli Navi, Misha Yashub, no one that sat with him, Shemuftach Lishabin on the book, certainly he is guaranteed that he has a Hilgan on the book. The Maran Kasav and the Chazanishro, Ani Machazik is a kapdan, it's the Mugurim Oid, I hold that kaptanus is very disturbing, very disgusting. That's what the Chazanish said as well. Hashem Yisparach Hashem kaptanus. Hashem Yisparach should save us from kaptanus. Story time. You did the right thing. A small child in Talmud Torah once did something inappropriate, and the Malamed wished to punish him severely. Chaim, he told the future Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who knew how to write well, take a large piece of paper and write the words bad boy on it. We'll put the sign on the bad boy's back so that everyone will see it. Chaim refused to do this. On his return home, he told his father what had happened. You did the right thing, his father told him. You are not obligated to consent to doing something that will make your friends angry at you. Right? That's an interesting response. He wasn't critical of the Rebbe, which I'm sure in his mind he was. He never got angry. Rav Chaim related that he went together with the Chazon Ish to the funeral of Rav Elia Dushnitzer. On the way, he told me that Rav Dushnitzer never became angry. How did he know this? Apparently, he was very well acquainted with him. Extenuating circumstances. Rav Chaim also spoke about a person whom the stipler helped in a matter of divorcing his wife. Later, when asked about this person with regard to a shidduch, my father praised him. This was surprising to me, since my father had complaints against his conduct in the divorce controversy. So the father said that a person should not be judged on the basis of a time when he was involved in a dispute. At such a time, he's a different person, so that does not serve as a proof. Right, which is very interesting, because we saw the Chazal today that said that a person is recognizable by kasa when he's angry. So you know, there is a certain mita that comes out, but at the same time, it's, I guess, you know, you don't have to assume that a person's always going to be like that because there was an extenuating circumstance. But if a person is regularly angry, it's okay, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, got to stem it with the Gemara. Anger, stubbornness, and peace of mind. Rav Chaim was asked for advice regarding anger and stubbornness. He replied, study Musar. Someone came to him and complained that he had no peace of mind. Said Rav Chaim, learn Torah and you will have peace of mind. Rav Chaim's patience. As is known, Rav Chaim is blessed with a great deal of patience. His grandson said, I saw something this Shabbos that cannot be described on paper. There were about 20 people at the table Shabbos morning. It was really something to watch. Rabbeinu answered all their questions on every topic and every issue, halacha, agada, gemara, and so on, for about 2 hours with tremendous patience. What was truly remarkable was a special sight. A poor unlearned Jew came in, and Rabbeinu invited him with affection to have a seat, although he didn't know him. Although he generally tries to hurry through his public times, Rabbeinu asked after this man's welfare. The elderly man began describing all his aches and pains, and Rav Chaim blessed him again and again with a speedy recovery. Afterward, the man asked for brachas for his children and grandchildren, that this one should marry, this one should earn a living, the third one's wife should be healthy, and so on. Rabbeinu blessed him again and again and honored him greatly, even though he had never met him before, and the man was not a Talmud Chacham. Rav Chaim was asked for advice about a six-year-old boy. How can one overcome the mida of kas? Rav Chaim said, if he's capable of understanding, tell him the Gemara says that all kinds of Gehenna rule over a person who gets angry, and we can see this for ourselves. The Rebbetzin's patience. During the week of mourning for his Rebbetzin, Rav Chaim was asked what was most special about her. He replied, her patience and lack of anger. Someone told Rav Chaim that people were saying in his name that the Rebbetzin's patience had been extraordinary. He answered emotionally, that was one of the things that was special about her. A biography was being written about the Rebbetzin, and the author wanted to include an answer to the question, how can a person acquire the trait of patience? Rav Chaim answered, if you learn Torah, you acquire all the good mitos. Many years ago, the Rebbetzin told this story. You have no idea what happened yesterday. You know what usually goes on here on Thursdays? Well, many people come, and some were waiting in the hallway. I had already taken the challahs and cakes out of the oven to cool off and placed them on the bed in the other room. Suddenly, I remembered that I had to attend a wedding. I begged the pardon of those who were waiting, and I ran over for a minute to say Mazel Tov. When I returned home, I was appalled. A boy of about 2 that entered the inner room, taking a big bite out of the beautiful challah, and touched the sifted flour in the bowl. I was very upset. I immediately asked his mother, did you wash his hands this morning? No negelwasser? The woman began to cry. I'm sorry, I'll bring you other challahs in exchange. I told her, the challahs are not important now. The thing is, when a person gets up in the morning, an evil spirit rests on him. In order to remove it, one must wash negelwasser. Did you wash his hands? If not, there's a question about all this food. In tears, the mother said, I'm not really so careful about washing his hands, but he washed his hands at least 10 times today, and he also took a bath. She was extremely distressed. So I took out the cup of flour in which he had put his hands and gave him the rest of the challah that he had bitten into as a gift. Regarding the remaining challahs and cakes, in the end, I was told that, Baruch Hashem, they were all right. The listener remarked on her reaction, not I became angry, not I yelled at the mother for not keeping an eye on her child. The Rebbetzin's only concern was about the halacha. Did the boy wash his hands? There wasn't even a trace of anger. Saving the Queen. The Sefer Tiferes Banim quotes Rosh Hashanah Diskin of Brest, who wrote a letter to Chaim Nachum, the chief rabbi of Egypt, with the request that he clarify a point regarding the case of an aguna. His letter was not answered. He wrote a second letter. Sometime later, he received a letter in which the Rav from Egypt apologized for not replying to the first letter, as he had been occupied in the palace of King Fa'ud. When he was allowed to leave for a few hours, he found both letters from Yerushalayim and hastened to respond to them. The Maral Diskin was afraid that it might be a decree against the Jews of Egypt, which would explain why the Rav was occupied in the palace. He sent an express letter to Chaim Noachim asking about the situation. Now, why was he held there and accosted and he couldn't get up? The facts the Rav answered are as follows. The king and queen were walking in the palace gardens near the stream when an argument broke out between them over the queen's desire to drink from the stream. The king objected and expressed his objection three times. Nevertheless, the queen decided not to obey and drank from the stream. When word of the incident reached the ears of the government officials closest to the royal house, they became enraged. They demanded that the queen be subject to Egyptian royal law. That sounds like an Ahasuerus and Vashti, no? Which states that one who disobeys the king three times is considered a rebel. She must be punished. The officials threatened the king, saying that if he did not respect the law when he had a personal interest in the matter, he would revolt against him and kill him. In the end, it was resolved to give the king 3 months to justify why the queen should not be judged a rebel. The king was beside himself. He chose 3 wise men from the 3 religions to help him out of his predicament. One was a chief rabbi of Egypt, the second a Christian priest, and the third a chief Islamic imam. The king put all 3 in a special house to discuss the matter and try to find a way to save the queen. Upon receiving this letter from the Rebbe of Egypt, the Maharal Diskin immediately wrote back to say that a way could be found to save her through the teachings of Chazal. He quoted a certain saying of Chazal from which one can derive an argument that would absolve her. Let's say what it is. Chaim Nachum brought the solution to the king and presented it to his ministers. They accepted it and canceled the decree. Upon learning from Chaim Nachum that the Gaon from Brisk was the one who had brought about his salvation, the king wrote the Maharal Diskin a letter of thanks and included a gold medallion as a sign of his appreciation. The Maharal hid the medallion in one of his drawers. After he died, his family found the medallion and did not understand its meaning until the Rav of Egypt explained how the whole thing had come about. However, he did not recall the source in Chazal that the Maharal had cited. When Rechaim Kanievsky was asked where in Chazal one can find a solution to the king's dilemma, he cited the Gemara Avodah Zarah that presents Rabba's question. If a person bows down to a stream, may its waters be used for the Misachim, for the water that's poured on the Mizbeach and Sukkis? The Gemara answers that if the person intended to worship the water itself, we can assume that he bowed down only to the water that was present at the moment he bowed. That water is already gone. So it seems that the water in front of us is not prohibited. In the case of the queen, she asked to drink of the stream's water that was then before, and the king said no. When she said a second time, I want to drink this water, and once again said no, he was not speaking about the same water as the first time. That water was gone. Similarly, the third no did not apply to the same water. The water that she actually drank was not subject to the king's orders. Those orders had been issued about different water, not the water that the queen drank. So, you know, that's tangentially related to anger. The Chazon Ish, humility and humor. Rechaim responded to a letter printed in Kovetzino Parsha that said that the following. We heard in the name of the Chazon Ish that humility does not mean that a person should deceive himself and not know his level. Rather, that he should recognize the truth but realize that it entitles him to nothing. As it says in Pirkei Avos, if you have studied much Torah, do not take credit for yourself because it is for this purpose that you were created. Rechaim told of a Talmud Chacham who in his youth mischievously asked the Chazon Ish if he knew and he was the Gadol Hador. Answered the Chazon Ish, I know, but I also know that given my ability, they could have achieved much more. Rechaim related that he once heard a small boy ask the Chazon Ish, are you a tzaddik? The Chazon Ish answered jokingly, a lenger tzaddik, the elongated letter tzaddik that appeared in the end of a word, like a sof, another, the letter tzaddik. Are you a tzaddik? So he said, you know, a tzaddik sovis. The boy persisted, are you one of the Lamed of Tzaddikim, the 36 righteous tzaddikim of the world? Rechaim Chazon Ish replied, one of the Lamed Zion. Okay. The foolishness of anger. Speaking on the topic of anger, Rechaim cited with a smile the following parable. The Medrash Rabbah says that on the day Noach planted a vineyard, right after he came out of the Teva, it grew immediately, produced fruit, and he became drunk. Hashem told him, shouldn't you have learned from Adam Harishon, who should not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas? Hadubin the Magid illustrates this point through a parable. A man was down on his luck and out of money. He went to his Rav, who not only blessed him, but promised that after he left, the first thing he did would prove very successful. All the way home, the man considered what to do first. He decided to count the money in his wallet, which would introduce blessing into the money. Entering his house, he called out to his wife, bring me my wallet quickly. Why? The wife asked in surprise. Don't ask questions, just bring it quickly. He shouted furiously, but the angrier he became, the more obstinately she refused to bring the wallet. The quarrel was indescribably successful. Thus, in his foolishness, the first thing the man did was to waste Sarah's blessing by arguing with his wife. So too, with the topic at hand, heaven granted Noah the power to act and be successful, and then he planted a vineyard that was so successful that he had only to taste the wine to become intoxicated. It was for this reason that Hashem asked, shouldn't you have learned from Adam HaRishon? Unjustified curses. It's not usual to see among those who visit Ruchayim people who speak with great fear about curses that they've received from an irate neighbor or some other individual. Ruchayim calms them and says, don't worry. I read it wrong, right? It's not usual. What do you mean it's not unusual? Like, whatever it is. Anyway, Ruchayim calms them and says, don't worry. An unjustified curse rebounds onto the one who cursed. You have nothing to fear. Nonetheless, I remember a man who came to Ruchayim and told of a bitter widow who lived in his neighborhood. He and his wife had helped her a great deal, but recently, because of various troubles, they had been prevented from helping her as usual. She had turned on them in bitterness and promised them all the curses written in Parshas Shavuah. Ruchayim soothed them as described above, although he added that because she was a widow, it would be worthwhile to appease her until she took back her curses. That's Lacharabah.